listening to Reality Wrap. I'm your host, Melanie. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Hey guys, thanks for tuning into Reality Wrap. I have Mr. Sean here with me this evening.
How we doing, team?
So tonight we will be recapping last night's episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Season 4, Part 2 of the reunion, and I did not take a ton of notes because at this point I am just waiting for Part 3. The only thing I'm really left interested in is hearing Monica's side of the whole Von T's Instagram thing, and I want to see what's in that burn book.
What do you think about the first two episodes so far?
They're good. I feel like this one was a little bit more interesting because we get Mary.
Mary helped.
Yeah,
she zhuzhed it up.
Yeah, she zhuzhed it up. Sean's word of the year.
2024 word of the year, team.
But other than that, I'm kind of like, eh. I did find the LD Millionaire stuff pretty interesting, or LD. I keep calling her LD Millionaire, which is her Twitter handle.
Yeah, that's what I'll call her.
Yeah.
If I shook her hand.
Linda's.
What's up, LD?
Stuff. So she was tweeting last night. And so she pinned this tweet on her Twitter, and it says, "Everything Monica says about me is a lie or a half-truth. I never applied or auditioned, not for season 4 or any other season. I am an award-winning journalist and TV producer. That was the TV job in New York City, news journalist, producer. I already had the job. Reality TV is not my cup of tea." And I was like, wait a minute. She's a journalist or a producer?
Or no.
I don't know. Somebody needs to like find out. Like, does she have a LinkedIn? Does she have... Oh, yeah. That's what we should
do. I think the L and LD stands for ludicrous.
What's her last name? Let's see if we can find her on LinkedIn. Okay. So we found her on LinkedIn, or we think it's her. And it's under Linda Darnell, and it just says that she's a sales manager at Walker Home Designs. She has 3 connections in Salt Lake City, Utah, and that's it. There's no activity. There's no other jobs listed. It doesn't say that she was a producer or anything, so.
May not be her either.
It might not be her. I couldn't get anybody else to come up under that name, but yeah.
Just so disclaimer.
That's all I'm saying. I really.
Award-winning
TV producer, journalist,
and journalist. The award-winning statement is kind of like patent pending, right? It's like this blanket statement, like something happened, right? So, I mean, who knows what the award was? Who knows who issued it? It could have been a cupcake in a break room.
So she was only, though she did say she was only in New York for 6 months, and then they moved to Arizona. So she wasn't some award.
She was some kind of rookie of the year.
Or she was something. I mean, maybe she was trying to get a job. She did say, Monica did say last night that her mom wanted to move to New York for a TV job.
Remember when I just recently inferred that her award was a cupcake in a break room? I'm sticking to that.
A cupcake and a happy birthday cake.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my God.
Great job.
Anyway, so Cuckadoos is out there tweeting. This part of the reunion starts out with the relationship between Monica and LD, or Linda, and we see all the clips of her and her mom and how like shitty her mom was to her all season.
Yep.
I will say Andy seems very sympathetic to Monica.
Yeah, I noticed that, and it made me definitely hopeful that she's coming back.
Yeah, well, and I also think that once the women all saw what was really going on, because obviously they're not privy. Yeah, they all seemed rather sympathetic to her.
Because I think each of the ladies have been through some shit, but none of them have been through that.
Monica says she still doesn't know what happened in Bermuda and why her family would not film with her. I guess Linda had asked production to go to Bermuda because she said it was her family and that they remembered her the most. And production told her no. And I guess she threw like a huge hissy fit, which isn't surprising because she definitely wanted to be on this show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, still does. Yeah.
And she will be. She'll have her appearances.
I don't know. As of right now, they're not talking to each other. Although I feel like if Monica got another season, her mom's going to start coming around. Lisa does admit that after watching the season, she could agree that Monica's mom was pretty horrible and that honestly, it was really none of her business, that she really didn't have a place to say anything. Andy asks if Linda was kind of trying to audition to be a housewife, and we find out that after Monica auditioned, she went to her mom's house and she was upset and she was crying because she thought she blew it. And her mom said, let's do a prayer. And her prayer was that if Monica doesn't get on the show, then let it at least be her. And I'm like, why would she ever think that she was going to be one of the housewives?
Yeah.
She's somebody's mom.
Yeah. Like, and again, back to Andy, his concern was absolutely genuine at that moment. Like, he wasn't acting. He seemed like he was there with her. Like, he could see it. Like, he was.
Yeah. Well, really because all bothered. Of us were.
Yeah. Yeah.
After she said this and like seeing the way her mom tweets all the time, now she's saying, I was on TV and I was a journalist. Knowing this makes a lot of her behavior really make more sense. Hearing that if Monica doesn't get on the show, at least let her get on the show. And was it Whitney that said, yeah, it was really weird when we were at Angie's Greek Easter, when she sat down at the table, she sat down like she was one of the housewives, which you could clearly see. Remember, she was like, okay, let's have some fun. Remember when she was doing all that? It was so weird. But now that we know this, and then we also have the leaked audio of her and Monica fighting, and she was like, this is a show. You're acting. You need to get along with these people. So she clearly...
All the while, she was two steps behind Monica, trying to act, trying to get along, trying to penetrate.
But then she's like, I never wanted anything to do with reality TV. Well, but you said like a prayer to get on the show.
Right.
So she tells us that when she first met Mike, that when he came to the house, this is her ex-husband, that her mom banned him from coming to the house and said that you will not take my daughter away from me. And Whitney adds in, you know, until you actually watch what's going on from the outside, you really have no idea how toxic and manipulative the situation is that you're in. Whitney tells her that it took her watching her and her dad to realize that she was in a toxic relationship with her father. I remember when it was on film, she had paid for him to go to rehab like a couple of times. And then like the last time he wanted them to pay for him to go to rehab, they were kind of like, we've been down this road. We keep spending our money. And it doesn't work. And he was like kind of blaming them, her and Justin. Well, if I fail, it's going to be your fault because you didn't pay.
Oh, the hairdresser?
Yeah, the guy with the weird hair.
Yeah.
He was totally manipulating her.
He was, because they held their ground, right? They didn't give
him. Yeah, no, they didn't. And then he went away.
Yeah, they did the right thing. He needed to go away.
But also, I think some of this abuse that she's been talking about, especially from last season, might have come from her father. She doesn't outright come out and say it, but...
The problem with Monica is she's in this tumultuous loop where she has this toxic relationship with her mom. She wants to break with her. Sounds like she does break with her from time to time. She remains in a toxic position, gets into trouble, and
LD her mom comes in is the savior. Man. Yeah.
And then the cycle continues.
Yeah. Andy then asks Monica how she fell down the stairs at Angie's. And she says, I started falling down the basement stairs. I got into a fight with my mom. I wanted to leave. So I went downstairs to get my kids. I started to fall. And I went to go grab the railing. And there wasn't a railing.
And there wasn't.
And there wasn't. We saw the clip. Yeah. It was wood steps.
They have kids.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
And I guess she threw her shoe when Angie said, yeah, and then you threw a shoe at a toddler. She says, I wasn't throwing my shoe at the toddler. I took my shoe off and I threw it down the stairs and said, I just need to go home. And whoever was in the video with her was like, you should take your shoes off. And right. So she did. She took her shoe off and you saw her throw it.
The two reasons why you have railings. First and foremost, safety. Second, keep your fingers off my walls.
Yeah.
Put a railing up.
Angie then brings up how Monica threatened to sue her, and Monica says, well, Meredith told me that if I really wanted Angie's house, I could get it. And Meredith clarifies, I did not say that you could take her house. All I said was that Angie was liable, which realistically, she is correct. She very well could have sued her.
As Meredith was backpedaling, Monica turned to her really quick and she said, oh, you absolutely said it. And then she stopped. And I think
she... Oh, I didn't catch that.
Check it out.
Angie tells Monica...
She didn't say it like that, but she did turn to kind of to try to correct Meredith. And for some reason, she stopped correcting Meredith. And I wonder if she just... Meredith probably said more than she was admitting. but not maybe everything that Monica said, and she said, I'm not going
to
do it.
I think Monica tends to take things out of context and blow it up. She maximizes
it. She confuses, then she conflates.
Yeah. Angie then tells Monica, yeah, well, you sue people for a living. She's like, who else am I suing? And Heather's like, well, you're suing me. And she's like, well, I'm just countersuing you because you're suing me. Angie then yells at her, well, then just pay your bills, which, I mean... She's not wrong,
you know,
to put like cosmetic procedures on a payment plan.
Names.
And a payment
plan.
Now we
know she has three names.
Yeah.
That she used.
Well, yeah.
Didn't she have three names at the health spa?
There were three Monicas.
Dang.
With different last names. She didn't go over all of them. And they all had the same birthday.
I wonder if those last names were the last names.
I imagine
that were
this
revealed
is
last
it's
name.
Probably gonna be revealed or yeah. come out, obviously. In part three.
Oh, yeah.
We then get a question about Jack's mission. Andy asks Lisa about Jack's mission, and we find out that his visa caused a delay in him leaving because he used a shirtless photo for his passport.
Well, they'd arrest me if I used a shirtless photo.
I guess he finally received his visa and left after Thanksgiving. Andy asks her if she worries that Jack will come back with more orthodox views, and she says no. I think he's going to come home with all these great life lessons that he learned. And then I think Heather even chimed in. Yeah, he's going to come back a man, basically, like going to learn to work in the rain. You know, sunrise to sunset. It's grueling hard work. So he will come home with that. And Lisa is convinced that Jack will not judge her and John for not being more orthodox because that is not the way they raised him. And I was like, ooh, you know.
Oh, adult children never judge their parents.
But you're with a group for 2 years straight with very little contact with your family, and they're indoctrinating you over 2 years. I feel like, I mean, that's how people get pulled into cults and shit. Andy then asks Heather why Jack's mission was so triggering to her. And she says, it just reminds her of what she grew up with and what she no longer has and how she's no longer included in all the celebrations. Lisa says, well, I didn't want to rub it in your face at the time because, you know, you are against the church. And at the time, we weren't in the best places. And Heather's like, well, it did hurt my feelings because Whitney was included and she is more anti-Mormon than her, which I kind of believe. I feel like if Heather could still be Mormon, she would be. I definitely
did
get
Whitney
that feeling.
Did Whitney write a best-selling book about Mormonism?
No, she did not.
Okay.
True.
Hey, so that's the challenge I have with Heather, is she wants to write a best-selling book, very, you know, I would say fairly negative about the church, and then also want to still be kind of involved in the celebrations and the fun part. And that's kind of having your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, you actually, you're right. Whitney points out that Heather called her a hypocrite for supporting Jack on his mission because she would be supportive to Lisa, but then in turn talk about all the different bad things about the church and what he was going to be doing on this mission. Whitney tells her, you know what? I showed up to support my friend and I separated my feelings towards the church and my friendship to Lisa. Which makes sense. That's kind of what a good friend would do. Yeah. Instead of like butting up against and being like, hey, I don't believe in this. This is bad. This is bad. She just supported her friend.
A lot of our friendships require us to leave the ideologies we have outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you're not going to have that friend.
I think that also shows too, like you might not 100% agree with everything that your friend believes in or whatever, but you can still be friends. And that is like, if you take that thought and expand it to kind of all aspects of your life, and especially in today's climate where people are like, if you don't believe like me, I can't be friends with you or I can't talk to you.
Well,
there's
like,
so much of that going on in the world right now. Like we all have to realize like not everybody's going to think the same, but it's still okay to be friends with someone or still talk to somebody.
You know, I think everyone just needs to find a balance with tolerance. Otherwise, you're just not going to really find yourself with a lot of friends.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody's very different. You got to learn to just accept everybody as they are, you know,
and
you can all still get along. Whitney then asks Heather, now that you and Lisa are good, do you understand now how I was just compartmentalizing my friendship with Lisa from my beliefs in the church? And Heather says yes. And I was like, wow, look at that. They actually had a resolution on this show. Until next season, I'm sure Whitney and Heather will be fighting
throwing
again.
Shoes at each other.
Yeah. Mary comes out, finally. Andy
Yay.
Tells her that it's nice to finally see her on the reunion and asks why she didn't come to her last one. And she tells them that after the way she was treated on her last season and all the things that were said about her that weren't true, she didn't feel comfortable coming on. Andy asks her who in the group she actually does like. And surprisingly, she says Angie. She says because she feels like Angie can take her directness. She says she likes Monica because she's pretty. and that she's a good addition and she loves Meredith. Mary then claims that Heather's comments about her house in her confessionals were offensive and that her calling Heather inbred wasn't as offensive as Heather's comments about her house because she told Heather to her face. And Heather made the comments about her house in her confessionals and to her face. We're like, oh my God, I love your house. I'm so happy that I'm finally here.
I mean,
she is right.
Heather was very fake. And we've seen Heather act one way and then act very differently
in her confessionals.
Exactly. And she had me bamboozled. I loved her in the beginning of the season. I mean, I still like her.
See, I didn't like her in the beginning of the season because she, like I said, I've said this like 100 times on this podcast, but she came in like I was a victim of Jen Shaw. Then I started to like her. Now I'm kind of like, okay, now you're playing the victim again to Jen Shaw and the black guy. Andy tells her, you know, you've said a lot of horrible things to people's faces. And she says, yeah, well, they can say it back to me if they want to. And Lisa chimes in, yeah, but when we do try to say something back to you, you end the conversation. And Mary says, who's talking to you? And Lisa's like, well, I am part of this group, so I am responding. And they kind of go back and forth. And Mary finally just says, yeah, well, our relationship is done. And Lisa says, yeah, so what?
That's a fight I'd like to see in season five.
You know, Mary and Meredith? Or Mary and Lisa?
Mary and Lisa, yeah. I think.
I feel like we've seen it. I think they're done.
Do you think Mary's coming back next year?
I have no idea. I mean, well, at the beginning when she came out and they were all like, did you feel like Andy had asked all the girls, were you happy to have her back? And they were all like, yeah, she offered like this comedic relief.
I know. Well, and I was like, that a dig?
No, I think I don't know why, but they all seem scared of Mary.
Yes. But I think that was oddly. Like, I thought that was like a veiled dig when Heather said that.
Could be. And you never know with Heather because she could say one thing to you and then like behind the scenes, she's saying other shit.
She's a bit of a three-sided coin.
Yeah. Andy then asks Mary about Robert Jr. and if he's still married. And she says, well, I haven't seen the paperwork yet. And honestly, he's really too young to be married. He's only 21. And she tells us that 3 months before they started filming, the wife moved in, but she still calls her the girlfriend. Because she hasn't seen the paperwork.
Mary's rather inappropriate with her son. And I think sharing the story and all that and the way she does.
Inappropriate how? Because when she says she walked in?
No, just saying if she, first off, sharing that story, right? That's the story you share. And then when we are seeing their interaction with each other and remember he didn't tell her he was even married, she doesn't take his word for it.
Well, here's the thing. He is 20 years old when he got married, 2021, whatever. He lives in his mom's house and his mom pays for everything. And now he's married and the wife has moved in. So to me, I'm kind of like, if you don't want me to make a comment, get out of my house.
True. But I don't.
Living on her dime.
Yeah, no, I think he's just hiding it from her. But I don't think that gives her license to basically discredit his marriage until she sees a license. And then also share an intimate moment with him and his wife. And then basically, you know, kind of belittle him a little bit.
Yeah, so she tells us that she accidentally walked in on him and his wife. Girlfriend, whatever she calls him, having sex because she heard her yelling and she thought something had happened. And so she opened the door and then she realized, oh my God, they're having
something
sex.
Something was happening.
Yeah. And that I guess she told his wife to stop pretending because he will get a big head.
During.
And then it's no big deal. And I was like, well, this right there was a glimpse into her and Robert Sr.'s sex life.
Now, so remember 3 minutes ago when I said she has an inappropriate interactions with her son?
Yeah.
This would be that.
Yes, I understand.
Extremely inappropriate.
But it's also inappropriate that the wife is in her
mother-in-law. While they're in the middle of sex, she starts...
She didn't realize what it was.
But then she begins to coach her to not give him so much credit.
Yeah, okay.
In the middle
of
it.
I see what you're saying.
I mean, come on. And then tells it on TV.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
I just thought it was funny how she was like, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. And I'm like, she would view sex that way. Like... Just get on top, do your thing, starfish, and away he goes.
Starfish, that's awesome.
You know that's what Robert Sr.'s old, who knows what he's climbing on anymore.
Yeah. Starfish.
Andy then asks Whitney how she felt about Mary coming back on the show. And she's like, you know, I was nervous, but I was happy to have the opportunity to work things out with her because, you know, as we all saw on her last season, we ended on a bad note. Whitney tells her, you know, we were already saying what was already in the press. And Mary's like, that's not true. There were a lot of things that came out in the press about you guys, and I never repeated them. And then she really said, I've heard a lot of really bad things about you, Whitney. And I was like, oh, come on, Mary. Share.
Let it all out, Mary Bear.
Yeah. Share, Mary, share.
She didn't.
Andy then reads a comment from a viewer on how calling Mary and Robert predators was a dangerous thing for Whitney to say. And she replies, I feel like by me calling them predators was just my own religious trauma. And I actually don't think you or Robert are actually predators. And then we find out that Mary tweeted that Whitney is racist in reply to a photo of Whitney with Jenny. Andy then asks Mary, you know, do you really believe she's racist? And she says, I do, 100%. And Andy's like, based on what? And she says, based on her religion and how Mormonism states that based on their skin color, that they are cursed and that they will be in a different heaven. And I guess when they die, they will be the help or something along those lines. And I did do a quick Google search on racism and Mormonism, and there is something in their doctrine about how
my laptop coffee
people of color, I guess, were considered that they were cursed or something, and that's why their skin was that color or something along those lines. So I don't know. Again, I'm not Mormon. I have no idea what the Mormon religion is really about. It was a very quick Google search and that did come up. Anyway, Andy then asks, you know, is this what the Mormon religion believes? And Heather says yes and tells him that the Mormon doctrine is rooted in racism. And Elisa immediately says it's not. Whitney and Heather both say yes, it is, which I was like, it's interesting that Heather, who was raised from childhood in the Mormon church, was Whitney too? I think Whitney might have been raised in the Mormon church too.
I'm not sure.
Either way, she left very, like, she was in her early 20s when she left. But both of them say that it is true. Whereas Lisa was like, no, it's not. And she's the only Mormon that's left.
Well, but yeah.
I found that a little interesting.
I think Lisa's ride or die, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's going to root for her team. And maybe Lisa sees a very different aspect of it, you know, and she doesn't witness it. You know, it's like anything else. If you're not exposed to it, yeah, maybe you don't have it. That perception.
True. Whitney then asks Mary, you know, what exactly did I do to you to make you believe that I'm racist? Because I am no longer part of the Mormon church. And she's like, it's not anything that you said or did. It's just a feeling I have. But she wouldn't understand because, you know, she's not a person of color. She asks her or tells her, you know, wasn't anything you actually said or did. And I was like, well, wait a minute.
Right.
Wait,
so it's a membership of a... So I guess I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So with this whole conversation of it's not anything you did, right? Because that's what Mary said. It's
right.
A group you belonged to, used to belong to.
Right.
That's why you are now racist. So I guess my first question is, were any of the other ladies on the couch racist?
She didn't say.
And then if you quit the group, how does that not... I mean, how do you still be attached to that racism anymore? I mean...
I don't know. And this is where I got confused because she says that Whitney's a racist, but then also says that she doesn't have a problem with the Mormon church.
Yeah.
Because that's what they believe. That's their doctrine. Look, and I wish we could just leave them alone. I'm like, wait a minute. What? You don't have a problem with the Mormon church.
I saw
but
that.
But you have a problem with Whitney. I was like, this
who used to belong to the Mormon church.
Who used to belong to the church and has now denounced it and says that she doesn't believe in anything that they stand for. That's why I was like, wow, what has Whitney...
That's why I asked the question.
I mean, she never said or did anything to her. Anyways, Andy then asks Mary what her thoughts are about a troll Instagram account. And she basically says she doesn't care. Lisa says, would you care if that account called you a dumb bitch? And she's like, probably not. I get called a lot of things online. Heather then plays an audio clip of Monica talking about Mary, but I don't think she was like,
nope.
I remember when I first heard this before this part of the reunion even came out when Tanisha released all those clips.
Yep.
At first I thought, wow, she's talking about Mary. And then I listened to all the clips and it was the way it was clipped.
Exactly.
It's like she was talking or somebody was talking about Mary and she's like, I low key want to let Mary know.
No. Heather was all like, I got the receipts right here. And then they grabbed the receipt and were like, Heather, this is for a Big Mac. what are you talking about? Because Monica was referring to some unnamed person in the very beginning.
Well, then she comes out and says it was Jen in this thing. So what the thing says is, why I called her a snake, like, you dumb bitch, like, low key, I want to DM Mary from a burner account. And Lisa, that's when Lisa's like, Mary, that was about you. Monica's like, no, it wasn't. That was only one part of the conversation. Nobody said anything about Mary. And that she says it was Jen that was saying things about Mary. And I was like, see, now that makes sense, because the way it was clipped, it was like she was talking, some like somebody was saying that about Mary and she wanted to let Mary know. That right. was what I took
and
from
And then I guess
clip.
My question to Heather then is Heather, who edited that clip so perfectly?
Tanisha. Or maybe Heather.
Somebody did. But I'd start my questioning with Heather so that we would at least figure out whether it was her, to your point, Tanisha. Because if you start with Heather, there's only two of them involved. And that's what I think this is.
Heather and Lisa were really trying to get Mary to be convinced that Monica was saying it was her and that she had called her a dumb bitch. But since the reunion has aired, they're still friends. On the live a couple of weeks ago, I guess Mary was in Monica's live and was saying that they talk all the time. So obviously she didn't believe it, or maybe something's still going to come out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, they all start yelling over each other. Mary tells them, you know, you guys really need to hear Monica out. And Andy's like, well, we're going to get there because we all want to hear what she has to say. And that was it. And so next week, we finally get all the Monica stuff. We get Monica's side of the story. We're going to get the burn book, and it better deliver.
I took the day off from work.
You did.
And I took the next day off too, so I can recover. Oh, sweet love hangover. Here it comes.
Anyways, that is all we have for you guys for the Salt Lake City reunion. We will be back tomorrow with our recap of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So we will talk to you then. Bye.
Take care, everyone. Later.